You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, brought to you by themortgagewarrior.com. Use home equity to reduce stress today. Call Steve at themortgagewarrior.com. It could save you thousands.
This is the home of the grit grinder.
We do have a little grit and grind when we reach in our pants and pull it out.
Shut up and drive.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050, the voice of Toronto sports.
Hour 2 Overdrive, TSN 1050, and on the TSN Go app. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jonas Siegel from the Canadian Press in here today. Leafs coming off another 3-2 loss last night, this time in regulation. Auston Matthews was outstanding, but it was a learning experience type of evening for a lot of the young players. Hyman takes a dumb penalty late in the third.
Nylander with a turnover. Freddie the Goat with a lost draw.
Yeah, that's kind of the story last night. But I'm willing to accept that that's going to happen. It's going to happen at times this year. These guys are going to have off nights, or they're going to be put in positions where they have to learn how to play properly. And Babcock has said that many times. You know, we got skill, but we don't know how to play. And he's not wrong. They're a skillful team. They're a fun team. They're in every single game for the most part.
This seems kind of obvious, but we were talking about it at the rink. Do you think Matthews is already their best player?
Yes.
Like, is that obvious?
God. Like, a country mile.
Yes.
Who would be the... Yeah, I don't even know who would be...
Marner's number two. Or, you know, really? What? Freddie Anderson, the way he's playing right now, would be
that
in the
run.
That was
the guy who came up, too.
But Matthews is clearly their best player.
Clear.
When did that happen? Like, is that
from
right
day
away?
One?
Can he be their best player right away? I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud.
I think he probably was.
When you're drafted number one overall, you're a special player, and he's their best player.
Well, TSN, before every year, comes out with the top 50 players in the NHL. If somehow the season ended last night and they asked us to look ahead to next season, he'd be in my top 50. I don't know where I'd have him. You know, I haven't put enough thought into it. It's a ridiculous hypothetical, but...
I know where you'd have him. 35.
You think? That's probably around the right ballpark.
I know.
Well, you know who had him? I think 38th year.
Let me see who
was Craig. Craig had him, I think, in the 30s going into this year. Craig said, I'm telling you, as of today, before he's played a game in the league, he's a top 50 player. And Craig would know, considering his extensive background in scouting and watching all these guys play.
Okay, so TSN's list of top 50 coming into the year, 50 was Scheifele. 49 was O'Reilly. 48 was Barkov. 47 was Forsberg. 46, McKinnon. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, those 50, 49, 48,
have not had good,
they're a lot higher for me.
Scheifele's
had a great
25
year.
Right now.
No kidding.
Yeah, Barkov's fallen off a little. Yep. Forsberg, too.
Yeah, those two.
McKinnon.
McKinnon's the guy.
You wonder what he's all about right now.
He's right in the middle of... Like
superstardom, or what are you?
Right. Like, McDavid's the extreme over the past, you know, 5-7 years. That's what you get in the first overall pick. That's a phenom, generational player. The other end is Yakupov. And
he's not close to Yakupov.
No, he's not.
But no, but
it's
he's
like, are you Crosby or are you Kadri?
Right. Or even maybe sticking with the theme of first overall picks, are you Nugent Hopkins,
yeah,
Jonas's boy, or are you closer to McDavid? And using Matthews in this conversation, I think Matthews is closer to the McDavid territory than he is the Nugent Hopkins territory.
I totally agree.
For sure.
Let's bring in Ray Ferraro, and Ray on Overdrive is brought to you by Timeshare Exit Team. Hypothetical Tuesday, Ray. It's great to have you back on the show.
For the love of God.
Why do you hate that so much?
Because it makes no sense. If the guy was 9 inches taller, or if this guy had 3 left hands, like, what the hell? Like,
well, this is one, though, that we can relate to because...
So, Ray, hang on a second. You're saying you hate the Quizmaster?
Not as a person.
Good answer.
But some of the scenarios that are thrown out are ludicrous. And you guys have to deal with them all the time.
Right. Well, I think I've conjured up something here for the next quiz on TSN.
Oh, can hardly wait.
Because, you know, we're talking about Matthews, who was outstanding again last night. And
Don't even think about doing that. I've come up with some really good ideas for the quiz master for the quiz. And he'll just be like, no, we're not going to do that tonight.
He's not interested.
Every time.
Any of your suggestions.
Never.
He's never taken one.
Actually won a couple weeks ago.
Which was what?
Who's the better core, the Oilers or the Leafs?
That's a good one.
Who did you take?
The Leafs.
Were you yes guy or no guy?
What? It wasn't a yes guy, no guy. It was the quiz.
I would be yes guy on. I'm going to be yes guy on the Leafs.
Yeah.
Well, even though I really am a really big Connor McDavid fan.
Well, that's
he's
the
like
outlier.
Worth two guys, isn't he?
No kidding.
Ray, what did you make of that Austin Matthews goal last night? Do you think it was me and Brian loved the goal?
Oh, jeez. I said
this guy scored 108 goals in junior hockey. Who do I want to hear from, him or you?
No, you're going to reference what I said about the goal, putting it in the wrong context.
You said there was luck involved.
There's luck involved in everything.
But then drag bunt in softball baseball.
Which has nothing to do with this conversation.
Well, it does.
Who drag bunts in softball?
I do.
Jonas. He bunts in softball men's league.
It's a competitive league. You have to get on base.
Ray, what do you honestly tell me about that?
Hang on. I got to make one point here. Obviously, when Jonas is hitting,
yeah,
you know the outfield's in a little tight.
Yeah,
they're even.
Are you saying they do the like the move in?
Oh yeah, and they're also shifting even in slow pitch the other way. I don't even think Jonas can pull a slow pitch.
That's not true, and it's not the type of league you jokers play in.
Well, what is it?
It's more competitive than that. It's hard. It's the objective of baseball is getting on base, right?
Yes, baseball.
I'm really fast. So my best way to get on base is to sometimes drag bunt and surprise the opposition and get on base.
A serial drag bunter in beer league softball.
I'm proud of it. I get on base at a high clip.
Do you choke up?
It depends on the pitcher. Do you even know?
Wait a minute. It's slow pitch.
No, it's not.
When you get the first, do you get chirped? Tell me you get chirped.
No. Actually, a couple times they've tried to throw at me after and I give it right back.
Good, because
and
you're
I
bunting,
do it again.
They should.
No.
Wait a minute. Let me get this straight. After you drag bunt, the opposing team
doesn't
throws
like
high and inside on you to send a message?
Yeah, and I do it again.
Wow.
But it's slow pitch. How do you?
But it's not the slow pitch
you
that
don't
you think
throw
that
high
just...
and inside, like lob ball.
No, but it's not lob ball. You throw it hard. I don't think I've.
We got to get it.
We've gotten off track. Let's talk about Matthews.
Well, yeah,
he's really good.
Yes. This is we got two things we want to get to because you asked him about the goal. Why don't we get to that first? Because Owen and I thought like 9 out of 10, so skilled. Very few players could do that. Some people around here thought it was more lucky than that. What did you make of Matthews' goal?
Some people.
It's not what I said, Ray. Anyway, go ahead.
I don't think it's as lucky as some people might think. I mean, he's done stuff. His eye hand, whether it's knocking stuff out of the air, taking pucks out of his feet, taking pucks behind him, and cradling them and getting them back in front of him where he's got to move the puck or shoot the puck from a bad spot. I don't think you could look at that and think he's not in the very top of the league in that skill. Like, I don't think there's 10% of the league that would have as good an eye hand as he appears to have.
I agree with you, and that was another conversation we were having to kick off the hour was, you know, every year we have to do the TSN Top 50 list, and this was the hypothetical Tuesday that I was driving towards. I think he'd be in the top 50 if we had to do the list tonight. You know, and remember Craig, I think Craig had him like 38th going into the season. And people were like, wait a minute, Craig, let's see what he can do first. And then he scores 4 goals opening night.
Wouldn't you put him higher than that right now?
Well, like I just told them, Scheifele, would you put him ahead of?
I don't know. Scheifele's a really good player.
Well, he's 50.
No, I wouldn't. Not,
O'Reilly?
Not today.
O'Reilly, yes, I would put him ahead of O'Reilly.
Too. Yeah. Barkov?
Yes.
Forsberg, yes. MacKinnon, yes.
I think the guy's a top 25 player in the league right now.
He might be.
There's no other way around it. He's that
good.
Like
there's just too much that he does
Ray, would you not agree with that? Top 25?
Yeah. I'm going to say there's just too much that he does that you can't keep saying, oh, I need to see more of it, because it's not a fluke.
Yeah.
A fluke is a guy going on a 9-game goal-scoring streak, because that's not going to happen all the time. It just doesn't. What's not a fluke is that even when he went 13 games away or without scoring, he was there were three or four that you couldn't believe that he missed and knew that he wasn't going to continue to miss. So his numbers have been remarkable, even with that kick in the pants stretch that he had. Because everybody's going to get one of those. But while he was in it, he didn't fade from notoriety. Like, you noticed him every game creating a chance. Oh, gee, I can't believe that didn't go in. Can't believe Hyman, you know, plunged that into the guy's pads. Because don't forget, Hyman was getting nothing done at that time, too. And now I just look at him and I expect something to be generated night after night from him. He's a number one center in the league, and he's 19 years old. He's not a number two. He's a number one already.
Yeah, Joe texting in saying only one center in the league has more goals than Matthews, and it's Sid.
He's on pace for 40 goals as a 19-year-old, which, like, the last guy to do that was Crosby.
Right. And again, his two-way game has been on display as well. He seems to be on the right side of the puck all the time. And
he's always around it, too.
Yeah.
He just has it all the time.
Well, and Babcock was talking about his line mates today and who would be ideal for him, because, you know, it sparked some curiosity last night because he put him with Marner for about a period and a half, and people were like, all right, I could get used to that. But I think Babcock's right when he says, I don't want to play them together because they both can drive a line. Mm-hmm. You know, we use the Taves and Kane analogy all the time. Well, they don't play together. If they do, it's because Q wants to spark something or there's a drought ongoing.
Yeah, it's more of a short-term look in Chicago than it would be for any length of time.
Right. And I agree with Babcock. I mean, I would separate them. I understand where he's going with that.
So who did he say his ideal guys were? I didn't hear
that.
Well,
guess. You know one of them.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
It's Hyman, yeah.
Right. And then, he didn't say the second guy.
He pumped the tires of Brown.
What he said about Hyman was he's learned from Datsyuk and Zetterberg that he wants guys, that skill players want guys who are going to get them the puck, not keep the puck. And that there's some sense to that.
Sure. Okay. So if that's the case, and Hyman, in my opinion, Hyman's more of a hash marks down guy than Matthews might be. But I think Matthews is going to always generate stuff off the rush, no matter who it is on his side. I'd like to see ideally would be the other guy would be a finisher, would be somebody that doesn't necessarily need the puck a lot, but he needs the puck or can get the puck and finish it off. Like that would be somebody I would be really interested. Is it Nylander? I don't know. Sometimes it looks like it should be, other times maybe it's not, but there's got to be a skill component here. It can't be a line that gets dumbed down, and that's the wrong term, but, you know, because you want workers only with him. You need somebody that can hang with him skill-wise.
Ray, what do you think about Mike Babcock? And I know that you have to work with him and ask him questions at times, and I do too. Just his whole approach to everything that he says is like the gospel of hockey, and it's just... it can't be any other way. Like, this guy's got to play with that guy, or just...
Yeah,
do you kind of know what I'm getting at?
Yeah, I think Mike answers a lot of questions, though, in a way that he doesn't want to open the door for a follow-up question. Like, it's just finished. It's my way. This is how it is. Trust my experience. I've coached defensive teams. I've coached offensive teams. And a lot of times he doesn't leave any room for a secondary question. I think he does it by design. I don't think there's anything Mike does that he hasn't thought out or tried to think out one or two or three steps down the road.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, he controls the whole, like, scrum. He just says, okay, thank you, bye.
Today, my first question, Ray, to open the scrum was, I said, why did you match Matthews against Getzlaff? And he started to get on the track to answer, and then he said, I don't want to answer that. What else?
You want to hear it? We have the clip. Why don't we just hear Jonas and Mike Babcock trying to go somewhere during the scrum today?
Why did you decide to use Austin last night?
Because I thought, I don't want to tell you.
How's that? Do you feel like he's ready now to take on more?
Sure. I mean, they have more than one center, and Kessler's a dominant face-off guy.
All right, so he goes on from there. But
I thought that was one of the more interesting parts of the game last night is how much he used Matthews against Getzlaff. That hasn't happened.
I think that's a jerk comment, though. You can't say that. Like, you want to be a head coach in the NHL, you just don't say, oh, I don't want to talk about that.
What do you think he didn't want to say?
Like really, are you going to tell something to Jonas Siegel and the Toronto media that's going to reinvent hockey and give away all your secrets?
Well, maybe
that's ridiculous.
Something has to do with Kadri. Or maybe it has to do with Matthews. I don't know.
No, see, my first thought when I heard that was I didn't want him playing against Kessler.
Huh. Yeah, that's interesting.
And then he might have thought, and again, this is, God, on Hypothetical Tuesday, this is perfect.
You're getting it.
I'm thinking like I think I know what he said. But my guess would be that he didn't want him to play against Kessler. And then as he started to answer that, said, I don't want to say that because then it means that I'm afraid of playing Matthews against Kessler. That's my interpretation of that.
Okay, can't you just say I like the matchup better? Like, I don't know. Is that crazy to say I like that matchup better instead of I don't want to talk about that? Like, what?
Now, Mike likes to talk about, or he doesn't like to talk about, but he's a teacher, right? And sometimes I think, I don't know that he ever took diplomacy class. And so when he gets in a spot, like just there's places I think he gets himself into a corner. And unlike some coaches who try to get themselves out of it, he just puts a full stop brick wall there, finished. And he doesn't care. There's an old coaching adage, and I think many older coaches understand this, is that the media is of no use to them because when they're going good, you don't need them. And when they're going and when you're going bad, they're not going to help you. So in a lot of cases, they just fold it down and say, that's it, finished. There's my answer. You don't like it. Well, write what you're going to write anyway. I wish there are times that Mike could be a little more diplomatic with what he's saying. Could be maybe a little bit more understanding that other people are trying to get their job done. They're not trying to piss him off, even though the question does. But maybe if you're in that position all the time, standing behind the podium, you know what, I've just had enough. Or today I've had a bad day, or the practice sucked, or whatever it was, and I don't want to answer any of these. So he goes for his run, he comes there out of breath, takes a drink of water, answers three questions, and leaves.
Mm-hmm.
He loves letting the media know that he works out, doesn't he? Like, he loves doing a scrum with a sweat on.
His routine is he comes off the ice, and he's running while everybody's, getting their player availability. I guess he wants to finish, I guess he could go for a run later, but that as long as I've known him to be a coach, that's the way he's always done it. He did it in Detroit the same way, out of the coach's office, up the back stairs, run around the concourse for however long he runs, and then come down and do his press conference. Been the same thing for a decade, as far as I've known.
Well, he uses his time as well as he can.
Efficiency, there you go.
Very efficient. All right, buddy. Tomorrow we'll start getting into the World Juniors. Big win last night, but Finland's not expected to be like world beaters this year, I don't think. So
no, most of Finland's top players are playing in the NHL.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, seriously, they're missing their top line, all of it, and they didn't. They thought they might have a chance for Puljujärvi Jarvi to come back, but the Oilers decided not to send him. I see the Swedes just got Alexander Nylander. He's going to play. They're going to be a very, very good team. But there's one player that everybody should get a peek at, and that's Rasmus Dahlin. He's a 16-year-old Swede, and I guess people are just they say he's like Erik Karlsson. He's an odds-on guy to be in the top two or three in the draft next year. Not this year, next year.
All right. We'll start talking about tanking for Dahlin.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect. He's the guy.
Should be great. All right, buddy. Enjoy it.
See you, boys.
Ray Ferraro and Overdrive is brought to you by Timeshare Exit Team. They'll get you out of your timeshare guaranteed or give you a complete refund with offices in Toronto or visit timeshareexitteam.ca. Shout out to John, who made me turn off my mic for half of that segment because he tweeted in a Vine or a GIF of Roger Dorn leaning in to get a pitch in the back so that he'd get on base. And John said, bringing it back to Roger Dorn, this is Jonas in slow pitch, leaning in so that he can get on base for the team.
Have you ever done that?
Have you ever intentionally taken...
No, but this was a response to the bunt. The guy threw it right at me, and I just let it hit me and threw it back to him.
Good man.
Tough times in softball.
Don't accept that. All right, friend of the show, Jay Onright. Get his thoughts on Major League. And Jonas. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050. All right, so yesterday we had Chris Pronger join us to kick off our Friends of the Show week. If Jonas wasn't in here all week, I think we'd call Jonas.
I appreciate that.
You're a friend of the show.
Yeah.
Jonas Bothers?
Instead of the Jonas Brothers from the
Canadian
Press.
Do you like that segment idea?
Sure.
Like, you know,
I can just, like, Ray.
Have you ever heard of, like, the Jonas Brothers?
I'm familiar with them.
So our segment's going to be, whenever we want to cold call you, we're just going to call it Jonas Bothers. Is that witty or is that dumb?
I like it.
All right. Be ready, man. Have that phone handy. We'll
I'm not
going to
lie. The hoodies are really...
I'm feeling it, man.
Are they freaking you out? Or?
Jonas and I are dressed the same today. Anyway, we got our buddy Jay Onright on from Fox, formerly of TSN, but ultimately a friend of the show. This must be a great honor for you, Jay.
I'm just excited for the first episode of Jonas Bothers.
Jay, is that a good segment or no?
It doesn't sound good to me. It sounds bad.
Uh-oh.
Why? I like it.
I don't understand.
That's the point. Nothing ever makes sense.
Okay. Well, in that case, I love it.
All right. There you go. You sold them already.
Jay, what don't you get about the segment? It's like, you know, the Jonas Brothers? This one's called Jonas Bothers. You just take the R out.
Yeah, I understand the basic crux of how you got to that point, O-Dog.
But you hate
I don't necessarily think it has a ton of potential, but I think you guys have a ton of potential, so that's all that matters.
Thank you, buddy. Well, we appreciate you taking time for us, and holiday season down in L.A., what's that like compared to Toronto?
Well, I was just talking to Stephanie. I said we took our little baby to see Santa today. And, O-Dog, I understand, like, your practice is to just slip a couple of hundies to Santa and get your kids ahead of the line because it's, like, 50 parents deep. For us, we just strolled right up to Santa because, like, he's just sitting there alone sweltering in his suit in this 30-degree weather right now, the poor bastard. I don't even know how he's surviving out there.
What kind of routine do you think is in his undershorts in that heat?
I think he's nude underneath. I think he's totally buck underneath with just a ton of Gold Bond. Like, I think...
What's the cheddar level like?
Oh, I think he literally... He sprinkles Gold Bond on the floor. He rolls around like a dog in a big pile of dung. And then he puts on the Santa suit on top of that.
I read that, actually, earlier today. Someone was... I think it was Jeff Perlman or something on Twitter who was in New York his whole life, and he tweeted out how incredible the weather is in LA, which is such an unnecessary trolling tweet to people that you know follow you on the Eastern Seaboard. Like, you know, the weather up here in Toronto has been horrible for like a week and a half, right? It's been terrible.
Yeah. And I try, and like, O'Toole is the best because he is like the worst guy at Instagram stories. All his Instagram stories are him at the beach, and right now, I'm not kidding you, it is 30 degrees here right now, and like, and he just goes to the beach and just takes pictures of himself at the beach, and I'm like, you realize people hate you for, like, this isn't good, you're not helping the cause here, you're just making people angry at you, but he doesn't care. O'Toole's just happy to roll around in Gold Bond all day and just wander around on the beach.
With Jay Onright, friend of the show from Fox, formerly of TSN.
Do you think Danny's abusing Instagram? Or is he okay?
He's on it a lot, and it's like he'll be on it and he'll be making like an old fashioned, and he'll take us through the steps of making it. And we're like, yeah, we get it.
I know he's a grown ass man. Like, why does he need to show us him like every drink he has or?
No, because he's lonely, O-Dog. That's why. He's
no,
a lonely,
he's not.
Lonely soul.
You yeah, and I both know better than that, mister.
Yeah. No, he's not lonely, but he's very weird, and he likes the attention. And he does use a lot of Gold Bond. I remember when we did that craft celebration tour, every stop we made, we had to make sure that we found, like, a backyard in the middle of Saskatchewan so Toolsy could open up his drawers and just pour half a container of Gold Bond down his shorts. I don't know why he sweats so much. It might be an Irish thing. I'm not sure.
Why do Irish people sweat more than normal people?
I don't know. Because maybe they're pasty. They're not used to it. You know, the weather. I've been to Ireland. The weather's garbage there. Maybe they're just not used to the hot weather. I don't know. You'll have to ask O'Toole that one or Brian Burke.
I think you're onto something. I mean, let's be honest. Burke can sweat. O'Toole can sweat. Oh, you can sweat. I can sweat. I got some Irish going.
Do you know me as a sweater, though?
Like, you've got a tendency to
what,
overheat.
Sweat?
You complain about the weather or the temperature in this studio
it
almost on a daily basis.
It is completely hot as balls in here right now.
This is room temperature, wouldn't you say, Jonas?
I'm comfortable.
Jonas is comfortable.
God.
You've got a sweating issue, I think. And I do, too.
You can't have room temperature studios. It's got to be cold. It's got to be like a freezer, like an ice box in there, because then with the lights that are on you, then that heats it up more, plus just the intense pressure of being, you know, the drive time stars of the radio. That puts a lot of pressure on O-Dog. He sweats because of that. So all in all these reasons, we need to bring the temperature down. Call Mark Milliere, get him to bring the thermostat down. He probably has control in his office where he controls all the temperature throughout the studios.
No. You have to call Montreal,
sure.
Jay. You have to call Montreal.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. George Cope, right, in Montreal. That's right. Sorry, Mr. Cope. I forgot you control the thermostat.
Yeah, it goes way up the chain, buddy. Way up the chain.
Yeah.
With Jay Onright, you're kind of our American correspondent, and I guess last night it became official that Trump is actually going to the White House. Do you just do you bring up Trump at all, or have you learned it's not worth it? Like, avoid it.
Please don't say anything crazy right now.
Well, I live in a state that is like, I think they think they're like in another country now. They're just going to pretend for the next 4 years that they live in another country, and then they're going to pretend that this is not happening. Probably the same thing they did when W was in power. So it's hard to say, you know. I think it's going to be an entertaining ride for the next 4 years. I just hope he doesn't start a war. Is that crazy? Like, that's really a genuine concern for me. Like, that he's going to somehow, in the middle of the night, you know, have a few too many old fashions. He'll be drinking with Toolsy in the old Oval Office, and all of a sudden he'll pick up the phone and hit the nukes, and the next thing you know, Kim Jong-un is on the shores of, like, San Francisco with his two submarines or something.
Yeah, I think we're all hoping for the same lack of that outcome.
We gotta fly.
I think we'll leave it at that going into the holiday season. Enjoy it down there, buddy. We always appreciate you taking time for us.
It sounds good. You guys are very mellow right now. Are you all on Ativan, or what is going on?
No. We're digesting Gold Bond.
Okay.
We're high off the fumes of Gold Bond.
Okay. Well, have a great holiday season. You guys are kicking butt down there, so have fun, and maybe we can all get together next year at the TSN Christmas party at Croc Rock.
Looking forward to it. You missed the show this year, apparently.
I'll bet.
All right, buddy. Enjoy it out there.
Love you guys.
There's Jay Onright.
See you, Jay.
Friend of the show from Fox Sports out in L.A. Just hoping to avoid a war. That's all he wants. That's a
kind
reasonable
of a fair
request.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
That's pretty much the basic standard fear.
Well, and oddly enough, now the Florida Panthers owner is in charge of the Army. So.
Yeah, but I don't know what really comes with that title.
I don't know.
Like, nobody knows what the Secretary of anything actually does.
Well, especially under Trump.
But even under Obama, Clinton, Democrat, Republican, like, there's a Secretary for everything, but what kind of power does Vinnie Viola actually have? Like, he can't trigger a war featuring the Army because he's the Secretary of the Army. You know, and it's kind of, like, I understand serving your country, and maybe he's got a back story with Trump. He's from New York. He's a Wall Street guy. Just seems like something I wouldn't want to do. You've made your money. You live in South Florida. You own a hockey team. Why would you want to, you know, answer to somebody?
Because I think Americans are patriotic and they feel like it's their duty to serve.
That's not true, though. There's a lot of people that turn down jobs. People turn down and say, I'd rather not. Leave me out of it.
So Prime Minister Trudeau calls you and says, Brian, I got a real important job. You'd say, thanks, Justin, but no thanks.
I didn't see a future in it, like it's difficult to put patriotism on the line. If it was something that I really thought was going to help the country, or for whatever reason I was the right pick to do
like
it.
Your contributions could help make the country get to a
right.
Then, these guys have huge egos. They think they can.
I understand that, but what they also have is they've already got their money in the bank, so they can do this, and then at the end be like, all right, I'm just going to go back. If I leave radio for 4 years, I can't expect a job to be waiting for me. I don't have $1 billion in the bank. Like, it almost feels as if some of these positions are like vanity positions. Yeah, I'll be the secretary of whatever.
Just to say I can be.
Just to say, okay, now I have access to Washington, I've got access to the White House, right? Like, I don't know. Like, it's not my country, so I don't pretend to know the backstory, but what does the Secretary of the Army actually do? What is Vinny Viola actually doing?
That's out of our...
It's way out of our bubble. But what's the guy been doing down in Florida with the Panthers?
I don't know how much closer you guys have been following this. The guys, the people he is putting in charge of all these different agencies are, like, against the agencies that they've been put in charge of. Does that make sense?
That's exactly what's been happening.
It's crazy. Like, the guy who is now going to run the EPA, which is the Environmental Protection Agency... I believe he's suing the EPA right now.
Yeah, and he doesn't believe in global warming.
Doesn't believe in the EPA. Yeah. Doesn't believe in global warming.
Yeah. Hey, listen, he's the president. Trump, he won. He's in. So that's what he's got the right to put in whoever he wants to put in.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, deal with it. Thanks again to Jay Onright, friend of the show. We should get Dan O'Toole on at some point. Because Dan he's abusive on Instagram.
Oh, my God. I really don't know how people have enough time to document their whole life. Like on social media. Like, if you want to walk to the gym, do you really, really got to put it on the Instagram, whatever that thingy is up top?
What is it? Oh, the stories, the Instagram stories?
Okay, so you're walking to the gym. Like, is that Instagram worthy?
I don't know, but people watch. I'll tune in every once in a while. I'll check out an Instagram story, and I'm like, what am I watching this for? Like, you know, Joe from the Bridge will post a story, and it's of him eating lasagna or something. And I'm like, what am I watching Joe
from the
Bridge
for? Or what about the two people that are, like, having a drink, and they cheers, and they, like, kiss or whatever, and then it's like a, what does it go back and forth, or?
Oh, the different filters you can use. I don't know what
it is, man. It's
well, Snapchat filters. That's the big thing, right?
It's a major problem.
Well, this is the problem my understanding is with a lot of dating sites is, both sexes can use the filter to make themselves boost up 2 or 3 points on the Richter scale. So you're looking at the pick and you're like, I'm meeting an 8 tonight. And then you get there and you're like, oh, that was a filter. You know, whichever way. Guys can do it. Girls can do it. It's a dangerous game when you start using the filters. And the Kardashians started this whole thing.
The Kardashians?
Yes. Every pick they take is manipulated.
I don't have Instagram.
Photoshopped.
What does the filter do? Just, like, clean it up?
Yeah, you can change your complexion. You can...
There's nothing wrong with you. You're perfect.
You're literally perfect.
Perfect.
Like, well, you'd put me... If you could find the right filter, and you'd be like, Hayes is actually a good-looking guy who's got his life together.
How much do you use the filter?
I've never used it. I don't have Snapchat. I don't have any of these filters. I don't use them.
Yeah, but you can use Instagram to kind of change the way you look.
Well, there's different fonts or whatever. Yeah, you're right. There is... Different filters that they use for that. You use black or white. You could use different coloring. It's all manipulated. It's all bogus. Anyway. I want to get into Jay Gruden and the Washington Redskins.
Mm-hmm.
Basically blowing their season last night. And John Gruden's up there calling the game. And his brother did not do the greatest job. But that's got to be a very difficult position to be in. Right? So we'll tell you about that. And Chris Colabello has found a landing spot. How will his tenure in Toronto be looked back upon? We'll get into that next. text is 10-50-50. Someone texting in saying, let's not act like there isn't some heavy filtering going on for the Overdrive promo pictures scattered around the ACC.
There's nothing.
I don't think they are filtered.
They aren't. It's makeup. We have makeup on, right?
We do have makeup.
That's it.
Yeah, that's what you do with the professional photo shoots.
Yeah.
Like, we're a fish out of water. We're not pretending like we're Zoolander when we're in there. We're totally awkward.
We hate it.
We hate it. The guy taking the pictures didn't want us to be there. You know, Hedge is around, Natasha, Kate, Kara, Dutch. He didn't want to be sitting there with us idiots. But he did the job. They got one good picture, and that's what gets posted down at the ACC. That's not filtered, I don't think. Maybe that, Steph has insight on that.
I don't know. Picture down there at the ACC, it is so obnoxious. Is that not the biggest thing you've ever seen? Like, what is that? That billboard? It's
really big.
It's really big.
What's it like for you guys when you're going to a game there and your billboard's right there?
I found it weird going with my kids when they looked up and they were like, is that you? I'm like, yeah, that actually is. That was weird.
I don't really notice it. I don't generally go in through that, like through Union, and
so you don't see it?
I guess I did when I went to the Hip Show. That's exactly what we did. We walked through. Remember I told you?
You have to see it. Like, you can't not see it.
Well, I've told this story before that my wife made it so awkward because she wanted to take a selfie in front of the billboard. So here I am taking a selfie, which is bad enough, in public, angled properly so you get...
You see the pic in the back.
The pic in the backward, in the background.
Was that posted places?
I'd be shocked if she didn't post it. Maybe I gave her a strict warning, like, don't go public with that. Because generally everything right now goes Instagram to Facebook, and everyone's got to see it, and... 95% of the pics at this point are the baby anyways. So if I actually get in on one of her pics, it's by accident. But anyway. Chris Colabello signed a minor league deal with the Cleveland Indians. Feels like the Indians are always trolling the Jays now, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like they're just in on a lot of things that the Jays are familiar with.
Well, and then the Jays got, who is it, TJ House, I think, who used to pitch for the Indians?
Great.
All the management is Indians.
They're bringing over everyone from Cleveland.
Yeah, we're Cleveland North.
But Colabello is an interesting backstory here in Toronto because he was a part of the most memorable season in 20 years and played a big role in that. Like, you know, he kind of played a platoon to an extent, but right-handed hitter, put up big numbers, bunch of home runs, seemed like a really good guy in the clubhouse. Like, he was well-revered. And then the next year... gets clipped for steroid use and then vehemently denies it, but yeah. Then just disappears. Like, what, how do you think he will be a memorable figure in Toronto sports, Chris Colabello, because of how much he factored into so many big moments?
No, he's going to be known as the minor league guy that used PEDs and had a good year in the majors and got busted and then denied it.
And it was really awkward how he denied it. He was like really emphatic and. I guess if you didn't do it, that's what you did.
Well, did he not get you thinking? When I'm watching him, I'm like, maybe this guy's right.
He was convincing to an extent, but I still don't believe him. I don't believe Major League Baseball was out to get Chris Colabello.
No.
You tested positive. He decided to protest it, and the protest still came in negative.
Right, because usually what guys will say is, I didn't knowingly take it. He didn't even say that.
Well, he allegedly took some drug, like an East German drug. Like stuff that's not even on the market.
What was that?
Exactly. Like they were pumping this stuff out on the other side of the wall. Like, in other words, outrageous steroid use and a drug that can really, really have a positive effect on you, but more than likely is going to have some side effects down the road. I thought he was somewhat convincing, but I'm so numb to the steroid conversation in baseball.
He was convincing, Brian, because he was using the terms, I have too much respect for the game of baseball. And if you start saying stuff like that, I'm like, man, like he got me thinking. Like,
well, I remember Alex Rodriguez went on 60 Minutes after the stuff about him first came out. Because I always thought like he was the one guy who was clean.
Me too.
And then you watch that interview and you're like, yeah, I think he's probably telling the truth. And then more stuff came out, and he's like, yeah, I kind of lied. And
but that's exactly why. And listen, A-Rod is in a different stratosphere than Colabello, but we went down that path so many times of the guy who claims he didn't do it. Lance Armstrong never did it. And they all do it. They all did it. Colabello, in a way, had more to lose because he hadn't made the same amount of money and he didn't have the same amount of talent, so no one was going to give him a second, third, fourth, fifth chance. That's why the Jays planted him in the minors and said, you're never coming back up, even after the 80 games expired.
Do you think any of those guys will go in the Hall of Fame? A-Rod, McGuire, Sosa,
no.
Barry Bonds?
I think it's a coin flip. Like, they're running out of time. They got to do it over the next whatever amount of years. Now, maybe it'll be a situation down the road where they make amends to the voting process, but I've always believed they should be in. I think they're Hall of Famers. I think my definition of what a Hall of Famer is, that suits Bonds going in, Clemens going in, A-Rod going in. But the writers, who have the ultimate power, very sanctimonious, and apparently they're not willing to do that.
There's
I think
part
the fact
me,
that Bud
there's
Selig's
a part of me that thinks, you know what, you can put whatever you want in your body, but you still got to walk up to the plate and you still got to go
it
yard.
Just, well, what it does is it just takes a really good player and makes them great.
No,
like Bonds was great.
He was an all-time before. Great, and then he potentially became the greatest.
Right.
A-Rod, the same thing. Clemens, the same thing. Mm-hmm. Those guys were Hall of Famers before anything was injected into their body. I also think, you know, it's revisionist history.
But if you look at two guys like Brett Boone and Brady Anderson, they became 50 home run hitters, and then
nothing.
Like ninja dust.
They
couldn't
also
play.
Right.
Brett Boone was humongous, too. Like, if you look at it now, he looks like a cartoon.
Right.
So.
Yeah, no, those guys. But no one cares about those guys,
yeah.
Right? They're bit players.
Well, you played, like, you're a player. What do you think? Like, do you think they should be in? I'm, like, totally conflicted. I don't have a good answer.
I totally think they should be in. Like I said, you still got to go up to the plate, and you still got to go yard.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, and it comes down to your definition of what a Hall of Famer is. Everyone's got their own interpretation. Some people want to include what they do in their personal life in terms of whether or not you should be in the Hall.
No kidding.
But
look
at
Eric Lindros, Brian.
No, but I'm saying, like, the egregious examples. Like, people suggest O.J. should be taken out. I don't believe in that. Like, I look simply on what you did on the field of play. It's such
a
slippery slope, because where do you draw the line?
And what do we know? We only know we know. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
We don't know everything.
And if you really want to get crazy, you could go all the way back to the 20s and 30s where just outright racist and outright...
Ty Cobb,
one of the old, like, just notorious racist and just horrible people. You can't apply that to whether or not he should be in the Baseball Hall of Fame. They're not going to be in the Human Hall of Fame. You know, they're not going to be up for sainthood anytime soon. But, I also think when you look at what happened a couple of weeks ago with Bud Selig going in, nobody benefited more from the steroid era than Bud Selig. Because his first year was in 98, first official year. He had been the, I guess, unofficial commissioner for like 6 years. But he officially took over the title in 98. And the summer of 98 is what got baseball rolling again. That was McGuire and Sosa. Clemens won the Cy Young that year. And that's when everything started. And a couple years down the road, Bonds started doing what he was doing. And Selig knew they were all taking stuff. And he didn't care at the time because his league was benefiting from it. So you're going to put him in automatically, which he went in automatically. I think you should.
What do you mean? Like, you actually think that he got positive drug tests back and just said,
no,
piss on that?
But their drug testing policies were not.
I would
be
fascinated to like read some documentary or see one about that.
What they actually know. What like, they actually knew.
And, like, to get a phone call and said, this guy is positive, but just don't worry about it.
Make it disappear. I agree with you. Final hour coming up. Trent Dilfer will join us and Darren Dreger in studio. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050.